We back.
Once again, after a deep, deep, deep hiatus, feel like Donald Glover in this bitch.
The return of the prodigal boys.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I mean, but honestly, we didn't got pretty Kenny Powers at this point. You know, it's like we come back so many times, niggas don't even care no more about our big comeback. So fuck y'all. We here anyway.
Again, we repeat it every show. This is free. You're gonna take what we give you and you're gonna like it, damn it.
What's free? Yes, it is free. So y'all are free to kick back, relax, go ahead, open up them chakras, open up them throat chakras, and swallow some of this audio pipe.
Oh brother.
Hello. Yes. Sushi old boy in the building.
I said we are right back at it. No foreplay. Yep. We straight to it.
And listen. We are here. I'm back. Big Gonzo.
Brother.
My girl's like, what?
Nigga, you ain't mean like Muppets neither?
You're like, you mean like Muppets? Like, no, nigga. We ain't.
I mean, in a way. This is gonna be a fun one, ladies and gentlemen. Well,
yes,
fun as we can make it, man. This is our first episode back in a while. I had to pull up a drink I've had in a while doing a podcast.
Oh, what's that?
Are you familiar with this Jack Daniel's Honey Jack Lemonade in the can?
I was once shamed, I believe, by Corey for even broaching the subject of drinking anything mixed out of the can. So no, I have not.
Well, that was crowned in the can.
Ah, right.
It's different. It's white man. It's Jack in a can. I found these in the liquor store the other day.
But Honey Jack and lemonade is one of my favorite combinations in general. So
I said I like Honey Jack, and I said I like lemonade. Let me try it out. It's all right.
Okay.
It's something to do. You feel me?
fuck with it. Something to keep you busy. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Unfortunately, we do not have any acclaimed New York drill rappers in 360 deals. But what we do have
I'm veneerless over here.
What we do have is episode 62? 61.
The Aaron Judge edition.
I almost threw out a slur. Oh boy.
The clean record. I know what you're about to say too.
let's not get Kyrie that early. We'll say that for later in the show.
Oh brother.
Yeah, you Duke boy. But what we do have is the Beware the L's podcast with your boy back in the building, or in multiple buildings. the boy Uptown Ace Boogie. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Uptown Ace Boogie. Soon to be Charlotte Poppy. Feel me? As coined by Mia.
Midwest Rust Belt trying to come to the East Coast with the cool kids. How about that?
Listen, nigga, I had that first East Coast, that first lit East Coast brunch. Oh, that shit changed me, nigga. That shit changed me. They don't do it like that up here.
This man has one East Coast brunch and turns his back on Union.
That's crazy.
Wait till I tell them.
One East Coast brunch and one shout out or one trip to fucking Onyx and or two trips to Onyx. I'm sorry. That's all it took.
So CIAA and say goodbye to the CLE.
So shout out to Charlotte. Shout out to all the Brodies down there in Charlotte. You feel me? Shout out my nigga LC. Shout out Ewan. Shout out Greg. You feel me? Shout out the whole Under the Influence Shots No Chaser gang. Go ahead, cop that shit also off Amazon. Under the Influence. It is the littiest Negroid black party drinking card game out here. Fuck all that Cards Against Humanity shit. Come fuck with the winning team. Alright.
Tell them I need the family and friends discount.
That is Under the Influence and expansion packs. Them niggas is out here with the DLC. But
yeah. Speaking of DLC, yes, your boy Ain't That Wes over on this side. You know what I'm saying? You can follow me on all the socials. Make sure you follow the show pages on Instagram and on Twitter. You feel me? It's been a while and I'm excited to get back, you know what I'm saying, talk my shit with my guy. Aggressively get drunker and fail to censor myself.
I'm personally waiting for it. I started the cancel Wes movement a long time ago. Okay.
You were the very first person to do it. you've been riding strong for years.
Yeah, it's I feel like we getting real close, pause, Ray Allen. But we getting there, okay? I'm telling you, all it takes is one errant late night tweet, probably something, I assume something referring to, I don't know, William Shatner, and you're out of here. So
I say I'm good for now. Like I'm at my most racist and problematic during baseball season.
Ah, God, of course.
So for
the baseball
for,
season's what, over, you fucking losers.
Are we talking losers?
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking losers, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. You are familiar. Austin's a Guardians fan, formerly a Chief Wahoo boy, smallpox passer fan. And I am a fan of the greatest sports franchise in sports, the New York Yankees. Last team to let you Blackies play. And these two teams met up in the playoffs a couple weeks ago.
We did.
And there was a bet on the line.
Oh, damn, it was. I forgot about that. Shit.
I literally just remember about it like the other day. Just popped in my head. I was like, oh, wait a minute. So we bet. It's our usual Henny bet.
Ooh,
but this time, somebody was a little confident. Somebody said, let's do the VSOP. I said, VSOP with all your team is a one Dominican midget and Jackie Chan little brother. And that's what you want to do? Or Dominican little person, man. Excuse me.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Let's get into it.
Oh, brother. Oh, and man. So, yes, Austin knows me. So, Henny VSOP.
I owe you the K. Michelle. Very special. Oh, man.
Having her titties out all the time.
She does. Yeah, she does that shit for fun. Freedom. But don't worry, you'll get your goddamn Henny. If we ever see each other.
At some point. We'll just keep making promises.
Yeah, that's fine. But I lost a little bread to those fucking Bronx zoo animals. But you know, it's all right because we back next year with our 4 gold glove winners. Did y'all have 4 gold glove winners this year?
No. We beat you guys. That's all that matters.
And guess who's sitting on the couch? And guess who's sitting on the couch watching the Phillies get no hit? Both of us. So
not me. I'm not watching baseball. It's basketball season.
But yes, of course, very happy to sit here and talk to you guys, especially when, as always, you know, I feel like we used to have pods where it really wouldn't be shit going on and we would just sit down and just talk our shit and, you know, talk about random stuff and just, you know, things that aren't attached to current events. That's not a thing anymore. There's always too much going on in the world.
Facts.
Like, it's insane. Like, there is no break from the news cycle, you know, and we talk about it all the time. Make sure you manage your mental health. Make sure that you are taking social media breaks. Make sure that your day is not centered around social media. Because I think at the start of this week, you know, Monday, we all woke up to the most horrible of news. And let me be honest, the week ain't really recovered from there. This past Sunday night going into Monday morning, at a fucking bowling alley, outside of a bowling alley in Atlanta. We unfortunately woke up Monday morning to the news that we lost Offset. We lost Takeoff. And this one really, I mean, I don't know why, because once again, another senseless killing, another black man, you know, not having the opportunity to grow old, another, you know, more senseless violence. And we've seen it, you know, all throughout, really, you know, since Nip and Mac Miller, we've seen it 50 million times from, you know, Pop Smoke to PNB Rock most recently to, you know, XXXTentacion. And it literally, it's on and on and on and on. The list is endless. But for some reason, this one struck a different chord with me. Was that just me?
No, for sure, and it's because of kind of the circumstances of everything that happened. We've grown with the Migos since they came up. We were of age when they hit, a staple. Yes, when they hit, dog, I'm telling you, you were there.
Yes,
but they've been a staple of our musical and culture for a decade straight, and watching Takeoff especially literally be the same person character-wise as he was when he came in, a humble guy. He's not going to say too much. He's just
laid back, just high as fuck all the time, having a good time.
Just going to rap tremendous, just tremendous rapping. Tremendous. And just be just a cool character, not involved in any issues, not saying not wild and not problematic at all. And then just to see him, knowing his character, to see him allegedly not even be involved in the situation, just happened to literally just be at the wrong place at the wrong time with a group member and uncle. And just it just happened to be caught like that. That's what made it hit especially hard.
Yeah,
man. Knowing that that was just legitimately just the wrong place, wrong time type of situation.
Dolph, forgot about Dolph. And I feel like, you know, you really hit on it. Wrong place, wrong time, and we've been seeing a lot more of that lately. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, you know, I feel like even just a few years ago, we went from seeing, you know, more targeted stuff, more premeditated stuff, you know, more situations involving, you know, maybe ongoing beefs or whatever. But you look at Dolph, you look at PNB Rock, you look at Baby Huey, RIP to Mr. Pop Lock and Drop It. You look at Drakeo, you look at, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like
Mo3, it's like,
yeah,
now, like you're speaking to, it's like, These we're not seeing our rappers all up in their ops hood, no, hanging out. These niggas are eating breakfast with their families. These niggas are going to buy cookies. Their niggas are watching their friends shoot dice. You know what I'm saying? It's simple shit that you shouldn't have to worry about being killed doing. You know?
And hit it on the head, bro. And Hov said it. You know, way back on Scorpion, Streets is done. Streets is done. And that's one of them bars that has really, really stood with me, because like you said, you look at the circumstances behind this, and this situation is, you know, I mentioned it on Monday when it happened. This situation is about as awful as it gets, just because of everything that surrounded it. From, like you said, the fact that, you know, Takeoff is just chill nigga, don't get into nothing, don't beef with nothing. You know, you see, Quavo and Offset always in the mix, always in the middle of some bullshit. Takeoff never cared about that. They cared about getting money and putting on for his family and his city. Always. Like, you never, not a single soul, anybody, prognosticator, you know, actual rapper, journalist, whatever, has ever had a bad thing to say about Takeoff. You know, add to the fact that this nigga's a generational talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, flow-wise, I mean, like, unmatched.
Literally, when they came in, when Migos started rapping and blew up, they changed the game. And Takeoff specifically, when he got into his little, was it the triplet flow they call it?
Yes.
Pioneered that shit. He was the best one of them at doing it. And you literally have seen an entire generation of rappers rap that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his group, man. And that's the type of influence that you can't even predict to happen.
Can't quantify, just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's some type of shit that is going to last literally forever. He is one of the few people who kind of left his imprint on hip-hop in general in the short time that he was around.
Absolutely, bro. And yeah, we couldn't have predicted it when niggas first, I mean, I think first Migos shit I heard was Versace. And even though it was even from day one, it was an extremely unique record. They flows on there was something again that we had never heard, at that point. And, you know, just throwing Aubrey on there has made it perfect, but we didn't know, we couldn't have predicted that it would have picked up the way that it did from there. And you talk about growing up with them, you know, Takeoff was 28 years old. So when they first dropped, when we first heard them in 2011, 2012, that nigga was just hitting the dough hood, and already, you know, he wasn't refined at that point, but the talent was there. And you look at all the influence of Migos, you look at their, what I really like to call, two different runs. Their initial run at like 2012 to 2014, you know, the Hannah Montana's, Versace's, you know, Freak No More, Handsome and Wealthy shits. That run. And then remember, it was that weird, like, 1 to 2 year period where niggas kind of stopped fucking with Migos. Do you remember that?
I don't know. I really don't remember because I've been just meagled out forever. But
Yeah, it was.
Is
you know
this
what?
Before is pre culture or after culture?
Yes, it was pre culture.
This might have been what was this? Okay, and now this is like rich nigga timeline.
Yes, yeah, yeah, that whole period and Quavo started taking off on the solo side, and we assumed that they was gonna break up, and they. I mean, people still listen to him, but, like, they lost a lot of steam, just kind of how Ray Shurmur just randomly petered out. I'm still mad about that. But, yeah, but then, you know, Bad and Bougie came out, and even though Takeoff was allegedly left off of it, allegedly.
says a Jamaican from his basement.
at that point, Migos became international pop superstars, and that's really, you know, people like you have been saying for years that Takeoff was the best Migo, but it really wasn't until Culture that I feel like he was really able to fully put that his talent on display. That boy had some verses on that album, bro. T-shirt, nigga, Slippery, Deads. His Deads verse is one of my favorite verses in the history of rap music ever.
Man. I'm telling you, man. Like I said, I was an early adopter. Yeah. I was tweeting about it the other day. I feel like it was No Label 2. It was literally one of my favorite mixtapes of all time. I go back to listen to that so often. And that was kind of where I said, you know what? Takeoff is here for real. Mm-hmm. He skated up and down that tape, wrapped circles around his cousin and uncle or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to see them, like you said, their initial run, and then to blow up the way they had blown up. Mm-hmm. After Culture and to this day, and they were a consistent force in our culture and in music. Like it would be, you would have maybe like a yearly Migos song that goes crazy. Yeah. I think they're slowing down and coming back with a stir fry or some shit like that mm-hmm. that lives across the NBA playoffs or whatever it was when it was rocking.
I mean, and then, you know, seeing them in Carpool Karaoke with that arsehole James Corden, you know, seeing them on WWE with Randy Orton, like it was, you know what I'm saying? Like those are things that you can't replicate. You know what I'm saying? You can't manufacture that. You can't manufacture that type of love and that type of influence. And you know, it's,
they were legitimate reps, not even reps. They were legitimate superstars.
They said it. Hey, listen, and you know, just it everything. Like I said, all the circumstances around it, but to me, you know, the only thing, you know, close second to the heartbreak of Quavo having to watch his nephew get killed right in front of him is the fact that Takeoff passed away while they were on bad terms with Offset. And I know it is killing that man. I you know it, you know?
Yeah, that's tough. That's why I've been thinking about that a lot, too. Hopefully, because anytime that Quavo and Takeoff were asked about the situation, they said some family thing. We'll get back together eventually. So I'm hoping that we're on somewhat of good terms, and just kind of just separate for a while, and not any type of animosity or real beef going on between them. Because to have someone to not have the opportunity to make amends or to reconcile with a family member, before they go would be extremely tough and heavy to weigh on someone like Offset. So, man, I hope they're all good.
Go ahead, bro.
I was just saying, I hope they're in a good place before whatever happened.
Yeah. And for me, something I need to send a PSA on, you know, because I've gotten very annoyed by social media this week, even more than I normally do, because the reckless, rampant speculation is so harmful to everybody and so disrespectful to everybody involved. You know, it's, Jazz Prince this, and Jazz Prince walked past his body, and Jay Prince did this, and this was conspiracy that, and it wasn't actually over a dice game, it was over this, and blah, 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 and bro, just so, and Cardi was the one that made Offset fall out with them. Y'all niggas don't know nothing. You have no fucking idea what you're talking about. And the fact that you keep perpetuating these dumbass conspiracy theories is dampening what should be a period of mourning and a period of celebration of his life. Social media has, I mean, we've talked about it all the time, but it's absolutely gotten to a place that is beyond repair. They're like, it's out of here.
I see. That's why I try and don't even give any energy to that, because anytime anything happens, there's going to be that faction of the timeline that kind of goes and on those stupid missions and trying to figure every fucking thing out, man. So I try not to give any energy to that, especially in situations like this.
Yeah.
But no, it's going to get worse now that the Big E is in charge.
Ugh, Jesus. Yeah.
It's gonna be a rough one for social media. But
yeah.
I'm happy that we got to enjoy Takeoff while he was here.
Absolutely.
I'm glad he left us some timeless art. I've been playing, I play a lot of Migos to begin with, but I've been playing a heavy dose of Migos the last couple of days. I'm trying to take in all the quality that he gave us. And just to see his growth, pause, from when we first, you gotta pause even in certain situations, when they first came out, to kind of where he got to be now, like listening to, the Infinilynx project him and Quavo just dropped. Just tremendous rapping. It's a tremendous talent. Daddy's gone. I'm gonna miss him, but I'm happy that we have art from him. You know what I'm saying? That we can enjoy while we're here.
Absolutely. And I admit I've probably been struggling a little bit more to find a silver lining than you, just because, you know, this shit's so tiring, man. It's so tiring, and it's endless. And after Takeoff, there's gonna be somebody else, and we're gonna do this all again in another few months. You know, and I at this point, I don't know exactly what it's going to take in order to make a difference, you know, but just the way, not even the way, because niggas always talk about, you know, everybody wants to settle shit with guns now, and that's absolutely true. But I think we're far beyond a point to be able to reel that in at this point, just like social media. I think what it's really going to come down to more is, what are the potential consequences of it? You know, because, of course, ain't nobody advocating no damn snitching, but, you know, like, what's going to happen to this dude? You know what I'm saying? He may not ever get caught. You know, nobody's going to assist in the situation, and yeah, that's street code or whatever, but like, if a nigga can shoot Takeoff in the head and get away with it, why would that, you know what I'm saying, like why would that impede anybody else from doing anything different? You know what I'm saying?
Even in a situation where, let's say, that the streets deal with that guy, he's got a family, he's got friends who might feel some type of way behind that.
That great and point. Yeah,
that could, and that perpetuates the cycle, man. So it's,
yeah,
it's a sobering reality to kind of see where we've ended up in kind of our culture and in society. Man, and I, like I said, I don't know if I don't have answers right now.
No,
I don't know what the breaking or turning point is going to end up being.
I'm not quite sure either. Other than, you know, losing, you know, not to assign value to anyone's lives, but, you know, losing like rich niggas, you know, like losing like billionaire type nigga for somebody to shoot Diddy in the head in the middle of the street. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's unfortunately, there's
even
not
then,
a
man. The cynic that I am, but like, man, I don't even know if that would we lost Biggie and Pac at the primes of the heights of
that's true. And things, you know, at least in terms of the rap beef circle after that settled down for quite a while after
that's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? That shit didn't really pick back up till, you know, the new wave of niggas kind of came through in the mid 2000s. So, you know, it's I hate that it takes quote unquote iconic deaths in order to wake people up. But I'm hoping, praying, you know, with all that I have, that, you know, somebody is moved to do things a little bit differently. Because, like I said, going back to the point, the streets really is done. It's a lot of people who don't know shit about the streets that's trying to speak on the streets, how niggas should retaliate, how niggas should slide. It's still niggas in Dirt's comments talking about slide for Vine. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas behind a keyboard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. That's a whole nother conversation about niggas.
So,
anonymity is niggas' strength.
Correct. So, you know, it's unfortunately, obviously, a unimaginably tragic event, you know, for the entire world, but obviously, especially for everyone close to them. And I just pray for, you know, Takeoff's soul, you know, himself and his entire family and Quavo and Offset and, you know, anybody else who, you know, had the pleasure of being close to him, you know, because he was, I guess, just to wrap it all up, he was a stand-up nigga in a world in which there aren't very many of those.
That's a fact. I went back and looked. I was looking at some old tweets the other day, and I'm proud to say we were right. On July 22nd of 2013, mm-hmm. I tweeted, me and at the DJ Authentic, you might know him, agreed that the Migos will become our generation's Wu-Tang Clan.
Wow.
Hashtag Bando Bando. So,
oh, the hashtag era.
Yeah. Oh my god, hashtags on everything. But yeah, we were right.
Oh man.
Man, shout out to Takeoff, man. One of a kind, brother.
Absolutely. So, you know, while unfortunately we've all kind of struggled to bounce back from that, there are still, you know, some very positive things coming out of the city of Atlanta. And one is the television show Atlanta. I'm so happy to be able to sit here and talk about this after 4 years. It was off the air.
I don't think it was that long. Whoa, it might have been.
It came back earlier this year.
Came back this year. And pandemic year, no. Was it? It was a long time. 3 or 4 years, yeah.
I want to say it was 18. I think it was 18. But,
you might be right.
But yeah, but you know, so, you know, they Atlanta came back. You know, Donald Glover and them, the boy Troy, came through with season 3 earlier this year, which people were a little mixed on, you know, also referencing Community. It might probably got a little too meta at times. You know, a lot of people, complained that there wasn't enough focus on the main plot, which I feel like they balanced very well with the meta shit in the first two seasons. But season 4 has been exceptional. Honestly, if you ask me, it's one of the best final seasons of any TV show that I can remember. Damn near every episode, with the exception of, I ain't like the one where he got Zazie Beats back. I didn't appreciate that. But other than that one, it's every episode has been spot on. And ain't no, in my opinion, ain't no episode been better than the goof who sat by the door.
Yeah, now this season is definitely stepped it up big time from the third season, whether you liked it or not. And this latest episode, man, is a was a special one.
Man.
I seen it. Where did I first see it? I think I pulled it up to watch it. And I said, the goof is the spook that sat by the door. I said, where the fuck these things gonna go with this episode?
Donald Glover also has the rights to that as well. We talked about it.
Does he?
Episode. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. This episode was a special one. It was another Black American Network, the band,
yes,
production.
Oh man. Which, hey. You guys see Game of Thrones last night?
What IPAs, man, do you have on tap?
They came through with one, and Wes, I swear that shit was so good. I didn't know that Thomas Washington wasn't a real nigga.
Thompson Washington.
Yes.
No, he Thomas was the black one. Thompson was the white guy.
Oh, okay. Got mixed up.
Yeah, as soon as it started, I was like, "Nah, I gotta Google this shit because this shit gotta be real."
Man,
it killed me. All the still pictures of him throwing up the deuces and shit like that.
Man, that part was like, "No, the knees, get the knees. That's how the knees supposed to be." man, I just it from everything from the narrative itself to the way that the footage was treated to the you know, the floating head interviews, to all of that. It was literally a perfect episode of television.
It legitimately looked real. That's why I had to Google the shit to make sure it was real, because it legitimately looked like these pictures, you throw up the pictures they were showing, these video clips that they were showing, it looked like it could legitimately come from the 90s when this was purported to happen. It was a masterpiece.
Allegedly, according to the Reddits, it was based off of Disney's first black animator that came to Disney around that time. So at least his likeness was kind of patterned after him. But one thing that I love so much about Atlanta, and like I said, I feel like this season has probably been the best season because of how they've been able to balance the narrative of the characters. Everything except Darius. We ain't really got too much Darius this year, with the exception of the Ray
getting chased. Him getting chased by the white lady.
Yeah. But Earn's story, you know, specifically, because I really came into this season not the biggest Ernest fan, and still not the biggest Ernest fan, but you can see his growth. big pause.
It's good. I wish we get some more Paperboy. I'm just interested in kind of his growth as a rapper. Now he's a famous rapper.
He's a big time, and I really don't know how we got here.
I'm telling you, Muckin didn't go that crazy.
Everything, all the growth out of the characters, even out of Zazie Beetz and Lottie, has been wonderful to see. But really the way that they're able to kind of, again, weave in real world narrative, real world culture, that extends beyond the scope of Atlanta. Cause I feel like some of the earlier seasons not to say it was too Atlanta focused, it's called Atlanta, but like, I don't think everything necessarily connected to black people as a whole. I would say it's like some of the stuff was a little bit more self-contained. But as the show has gone on, they've been able to kind of flesh it out to kind of just speak on more black culture in general. And this episode in particular resonated with me so much because, nigga, you know how long we've been sitting here talking about Goofy being black? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always been one of those things that
what's understood don't always got to be spoken, my brother.
It's one of those things that we've always talked about. Like, we knew Goofy was black. We knew that his character was made to look like an aloof Negro. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But like, it's never really been discussed in any popular media before. And the Goofy movie, shout out to Thomas Washington, is one of the blackest movies ever made. It's fucking Tevin Campbell, or as they called him, Kevin Campbell.
Nah, it really is. And that's, like you said, that's been a kind of an underground narrative that's been spoken about, and for Donald Glover and them to use their platform to kind of bring this story or kind of create this story in like a true light is it's genius. I don't know, whoever really came up with this idea, they definitely deserve big kudos on that.
10 out of 10.
And the episode itself, it was intriguing. It brought you in. It kept you and held you all the way until the until the end, when they were showing the crash site pictures.
Oh, with the man.
And the goofy hand was the glove, and the goofy shoes in the water.
Because they even though it was entertaining and funny, they found a way to really, really put the real world into it. Like, you know. Kind of talking about the general, obviously, black angst, you know, coming from the off the Rodney King beating, you know, kind of going into even the themes that you can kind of identify out of a Goofy movie about black fatherhood, you know, about systematic oppression, you know what I'm saying? Like, dealing with loss, you know what I'm saying? Like, trying to raise, you know, gang violence. trying to raise, you know, a disenfranchised youth in a world that's not built for him. Like, they really, really kind of got into it and hit on it. And, I just thought it was so well written. It was so well done, you know, all the way down to, in there drinking whiskey with, who the fuck was it? Sinbad. Janet Jackson. Robert Townsend and Adina
Howard. Robert Townsend and Adina Howard. I said Adina Howard.
Oh man. I mean, just you know,
when you tried the white nigga come back on crutches, he had him go to a black barbecue and get his ass whooped.
See, he committed to it. it was just so well written, so well done. And
I'm looking up the voice actors on the Goof movie. Ain't none of them black. That's crazy.
Damn. Beautifully well-written episode, and in the middle of what's been a beautifully well-written season, which it looks like something that we don't get too often when it comes to quality television. A real, like a nice swan song for a show that has, you know, influenced so much. And hopefully going forward, whether it's from Donald Glover or other creators that want to be like Donald Glover, we'll be able to see people build on his formula to be able to create more culturally defining television.
That's a fact. Shout out to Abbott.
Yes.
Just different type of show, but I just got done watching episode 2.
Man, I think Zach Fox is fucking hilarious, bro.
He's a treat for all.
That nigga said, "Hey, what's up, boo? Yeah, my ex can't do dinner tonight, so I guess I got time for you now."
He said, "Nah, my album's on top of the charts. That's a playlist I named. Nah, man. Salute to Atlanta. Continue. Hopefully they close out the season on their final season on continuing the high note that they've set over the course of the season. And I don't know. I want some new Donald Glover music. That last untitled project.
Honest, I don't really listen to that nigga. You know, I got respect for what he does. I like a few of his songs, but I ain't never gone out of my way to listen to him except for that Redbone album.
Oh man, I was a big fan. He coming into college, who put me on? I think it was White my good Zach. Brother Jew. Salute to Zach, OG Zach, the plug, the original plug. I think Julian put me on to him initially, but now I fuck with Donald Glover music for a lot. My man, he just congratulations to him, good brother. I know you're gonna listen to this. And congratulations. I don't know if I ain't gonna spoil the news, but congratulations, my good brother. Yes, love you. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? So Atlanta's here. What's next? What's next on topic, good brother?
Let's see. We go from culturally defining things for you know, us black people to the exact opposite of it. Them dragons. Let's get all, you know, all the black shit felt good, but let's get that the fuck out of there. Now
actually we can talk this has a little bit of black shit. More black
shit. That's true.
A smidge, a pinch.
That's true. Shout out to the God, you know what I'm saying? The Lord of the motherfucking Tides, walking back in that bitch strong. Lord Corlys Velaryon, my Halloween costume inspiration. Which turned out pretty well, with the dye was a bitch though. I was silver for days afterwards. But
I wouldn't have done that myself, but you definitely rocked it. I don't know if he was walking with a limp to evoke the true spirit, and I didn't see a picture with you with a bitter white bitch.
Nah, it was all black women at that function. Yes, not, Lord.
someone's not being true to character.
But it was I kind of look at the finale as the last two episodes, 9 and 10. You know, one from the green and one from the blacks, and I really feel like it wasn't your typical Game of Thrones finale with like the wall coming down or Jon Snow dying or how did season 7 ended with the wall coming down? How did season 6 end? Oh, that was that blowing up the Sept?
I believe. When did Jon die and come back? Was that going into 6?
5.
Yeah, so 5. It might have been a, what was the last? 7 was the last?
No, 8 was the last.
It was last. I don't know seasons by season. I just got the general timeline, but I'm pretty sure it was like the Sept of them.
Wall coming down, Tommen Swan dive, Jon Snow dying.
That nigga four sound was... Michael Phelps.
Four was something with the White Walkers.
I just remember one. I was standing up and applauding. I was going crazy like Superfan. When Goodson hit that bank shot.
Shout out to Superfan. What's his name? Sean Bean. That nigga went out sad in two iconic franchises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings was arguably worse.
How did he die in Lord of the Rings?
He started going mad over the ring and shit. And niggas had to yoke him up and be like, nigga, what the fuck you doing?
He was the first king. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hate to see it.
Yeah. So,
well, actually, I enjoyed to see it, but, yeah.
But, I, you know, so we didn't get your typical Game of Thrones like action crazy episode ending, but I kind of like that because for me, I mean, we had some shit, but someone who has read ahead and seen all the spoilers from The Dance of the Dragons, because I could not wait. This was a season, even though it was very quick, obviously with all the time jumps, there was a lot of shit packed into each episode. Nigga, this is the tip of the fucking iceberg. I know niggas say that shit all the time, but like, however many additional seasons we have of this war, nigga, you ain't gonna believe how shit go down, bro.
Didn't read the books, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be truly surprised, but knowing where we are now and just knowing the idea of how Thrones starts, I know we're in for some shit, and they did a good job, I think, of in Thrones, where like the first season, you had just a lot of different shit going on. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of different characters, a lot of different families and shit you had to kind of talk about and kind of get their perspectives and shit on. And in this one, Dragons, you really only had a couple different perspectives, so you got to kind of go a little bit more in depth.
Which is good and bad.
It's different, but it was still pretty good.
I mean, mostly good. I was having a conversation with somebody, and one thing that they were saying was that we agreed on, I wish I could get a little bit more color on what's going on in the rest of the world. And I don't mean like whole episodes or whatever focus on it, but like a lot of this shit, or at least a good portion of the story is centered around fucking Essos, you know, and some shit that's going on in Essos, some shit that's going on in Stepstones. What's up with the Triarchy? You know what I'm saying? Like,
we definitely got the mentions of them, but didn't get a chance.
And you know, we will see a little bit more of them going forward, but I do feel like they missed a couple opportunities to kind of fill in some gaps about shit.
Are you saying there's a Westeros bias, my brother?
RIP to the crab people.
My man got crapped like he crapped the crab feeder like he was at a PPP brunch.
Listen, nigga, that was me this weekend with them deep fried crab legs. But overall though, like I said, that finale, or them last two episodes, everything from Lord Laris Tarantino.
Oh boy. I can hook it up. All I need from you is them feet.
Them Rex lotionless Ryan feet.
Rex Ryan's great grandfather.
So seeing how all that came together, one thing I don't understand though, bro, from that episode 9 and I can't get over, why Aegon didn't want that shit, bro. That nigga want to hide under the table, be a bitch. You know what I'm saying? Go run off somewhere, not fuck his sister no more. He didn't want the life.
The things we all want.
but Aemon could have easily, not kill him, but let him escape or some shit. Aemon could have been king immediately. I don't understand.
I would have been a better king. Well, you got your chance to get it done, you fucking pirate-ass nigga.
That's why I don't understand. Like, he not only does he want the crown, but he wants to be able to prove himself, and he wants his sister more. So I'm not understanding why he made sure that Aegon made it back alive. And he don't even fuck with his mom like that. So it's not like he was doing out of loyalty to his mother.
Aemon's a weird nigga, and weird niggas have weird motives. Fuck that nigga.
That's the idea, bitch ass.
That's why he lost his. See, I'd be clowning. I'd be making all types of eye references if I was him. Especially the way he'd be throwing them little strong barbs at my niggas. Luke and Jace.
That last one was funny as fuck though.
Now he was getting bars.
Two big strong boys. So I was like, oh shit.
All right. Now this hasn't had as many bars as Thrones has had. But again, it's just
a good ones, though.
It's his first season, but yeah, nah, this is a setup for it. But RIP my nigga Luke, man.
Yeah, and you know what? It goes on. This shit going right near it. And her husband
should go on loop, man. It's niggas. Soon I seen the other dragon, but like, they have company here. I'll come back.
Listen, that nigga left. Ate all the fixings. We ain't see shit but all the wing, all the wing bones. We ain't see shit but what, a cloak? Was that all that was left?
You saying Vegar clean the plate?
Listen. You know, and actually that scene of, you know, for the uninitiated, Big Vegar fucking literally eating whatever that little bitch dragon and Luke.
That dragon's name was Hors d'oeuvre.
Yes. and Lucerys Valerian. Eating that nigga in one bite. So in the book,
is Lucerys Valerian strong like Jackson Smith and Jigba?
Shout out to the Bull Jackson Smith and Jigba. We win it all this year on y'all, yeah, bitch, man. Niggas. I'm sorry. Is Virginia Tech in the first college football playoff ranking?
Yes, we are.
Oh, really? What number?
234th.
I always be looking at the others receiving votes.
We are big sheer new coach. We are big bet. We lost to Old Dominion.
Yeah, y'all pretty bad. Y'all lost to the alma mater of the Heine Man.
Yeah, salute to the Heine Man. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll get into it. But in the books, so it wasn't Aemon losing control of Vhagar. AG just smoked that nigga.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I was reading all my Thrones research comes from The Ringer. Yes. So I think I was reading something that said like he, even in the books, like he didn't really mean to do that shit.
He didn't, but it wasn't 100% intentional. But there was no, like, he was not upset in any way, shape, or form. He was not like, oh my god, what did I just do? It was like, oh shit, I was just fucking with him, but bitch, nigga dead now. And he went back to King's Landing walking like a king. So we'll see, you know, in season two, how he takes it. Because right now, that nigga looks shook.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's more shook just because he couldn't control Vhagar, and he knows that he just popped off.
Like, war is kind of war now.
Yeah, and he just popped off the bloodiest war in the history of Westeros. So,
yeah, and I'm hyped for see what my nigga Daemon does. I wasn't fucking with Daemon at first. I wasn't fucking with Philip at first. Nah. But the nigga won me over.
The crown is back next week, nigga.
You're right.
Yes, sir.
I'm making a note right now.
Let's go, McNutty. Let's go.
The crown's back. The dumbass show Manifest is back. Did you ever watch
Manifest? They brought Manifest back? I thought it got canceled.
It did. Netflix ended up bringing it back, man.
Oh, wow. That's why I didn't watch it, because it got canceled.
I'll explain it to you. Manifest is everything that's wrong with me as an individual. Manifest is not good. Okay. Manifest is really dumb. Okay. But since I started watching it, I have to see how this shit ends.
I understand.
It sucks. I didn't enjoy any of the previous, like, I think it's like, this is season four. Mm. Season one was all right. Two and three, basura. Mm. And season four, I can't imagine it being good, but I have to watch it to see what happens. Mm. But, I appreciate. I am hype for the crown, though. You feel me?
Absolutely.
They colonize the shit on the side.
Yeah, but so yeah. So we'll see. You know how he ends up handling that. Because like I said, this bitch is about to get crazy. I'm talking about, nigga, it's about to be every nigga's gonna be switching sets to everything else, bruh.
Oh no. So, see, yeah. I almost made it. I almost said something decent. I almost said. I didn't say this, but I almost said just like Wayne and Birdman. But I didn't say that. I almost said that.
I said we like to have fun around here. We like to kid around here.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's you know, so the Dance of the Dragons is gonna be epic. I think the one thing that I'm hoping that they really illustrate with the Dance of the Dragons that sometimes got lost on Game of Thrones, depending on which characters you were following. I feel like there was still a little too much hero and villain on Game of Thrones. George R.R. Martin purposely paints 99% of his characters to be a shade of gray. You get what I'm saying? So when it comes to trying to claim the throne, trying to claim the Iron Throne, nobody's a good guy. Now, Game of Thrones still had your Aryas. Still had your Aryas and your Jon Snows and your Ned Starks and your Robb Starks. Really, the whole Stark family, with the exception of Sansa, was for the most part extremely moral. Now, I got all them niggas smoked for the most part. But, like,
amen.
You said what?
I said amen.
Yeah, but it was still a story of the moral virtuous Starks trying to fight back against you know, the tyranny of all the other bad people in the world. When in reality, everybody in Westeros sucks. Every single person. All of them. So we'll see how that goes. And the Starks will play a role in House of Dragon too. So, you know, we'll but I ain't gonna give away no more.
It is tough though. I do kind of miss seeing my niggas in this Thrones world. Like if I would love to see a young Ned Stark pop up or something like that. But I know it's not. I know we're too far in the past for
me. I'm still surprised that they didn't make a show about. I heard something about them getting something in the works, like surrounding Aegon's conquest, even though it's not as good as you think it would be. Like, it's, don't get me wrong, it's interesting, but it was literally just that nigga flying around and smoking everybody on his dragon with his sister wives. Man, now,
the way they made these dragons look this way, I would love that shit.
Now, what I really wanted to see, I want to see Robber's Rebellion, bro. Like, we kind of know how it starts, but I want to see all the shit. I want to see the Mad King smoking Ned's family. You know what I'm saying? I want to see Robert getting cucked by by Rhaegar Targaryen. I want all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Trying to see Jaime cut down the king.
Yes, absolutely. Listen, bro.
Well, didn't they say, like, when they first, when season 8 first wrapped, and they said they had, like, a couple prequels in the works, and this was just the first one?
Yeah, but we, there's, like, 7 in the works, but the only one that I know they like, really started working on was the Jon Snow one. The Jon Snow sequel. Man. So, yeah.
The only thing I want to see is Hot Pie. Hot Pie's, they didn't have grocery stores. Hot Pie's flea market games where it's like guys' grocery games.
The flea bottom games,
where they go on and they grab whatever meat they was eating because them niggas was on some other shit.
Yeah,
but they competed. Or no, it's not even grocery games. It's beat Bobby Flay. It's beat Hot Pie. So everybody contestants each week come up and see if they can beat my nigga Hot Pie and some bacon or cooking.
Streets need it. But yeah, so you know, Big Thrones or Big Dragons will be back. But before we wrap this up, want to ask you very quickly, 3 things: favorite character, least favorite character, and what you are hoping to see next season.
Favorite character. We talked about this when it first started. I think it's still got to be Rhaenyra. Even though she definitely skated out on her queenly duties to produce a natural heir, understandably. She kind of has the biggest open secret that gratefully her father was Ray Charles too until the very end. I still find myself rooting for her and wanting to see her have success more than anybody else. Least favorite character, I think that hasn't changed yet. I think it's the nigga Otto Hightower.
Gotta be.
I feel like I've softened a little bit on Allison.
Ever so slightly. Now this ain't your Skylar was right debate that you be starting in the group chat.
I said Skylar. I understand a little bit. Nah, there's no what I said. But no, this is for Allison. It's like, yeah, I'm saying, like, you were forced kind of to kind of slide up on the king when he was grieving, and you just kind of have grown
it. And she had to take them dirty, nasty swamp strokes. Yeah,
this man's skin was falling off. Oh man, he was literally falling apart. That's crazy. Ugh. Yeah. So she kind of had to do what she had to do and kind of grown, and her viewpoint has kind of grown from there. Still sucks, don't get me wrong, but bad. Her father literally put
bad
to the bone. Oh man, but yeah, Otto stinks, man. I'm pissed that he kind of came back in a picture. I was hoping that Damon did him like he did the only other black male.
Nigga, you want to talk about taking the top off the Maybach, nigga? I've seen a lot of beheadings in Western media. I have never seen somebody get slash through their open mouth.
I was going to say, because usually you see it from the neck, but
the neck.
Damon Boss. Legitimately ate. peeled that nigga's muffin cap back blue.
Hey, he had it coming.
Shit.
Listen.
He said, that queen got some bastards. I said, nigga, you're wildin', bro. And then Damon did what he did. Like,
say it again. Say it again.
And then he said it again and got his shit. Got his trick shot.
That nigga Damon said everything's copacetic, nigga.
don't say another motherfucking word, nigga. This is Otto Hightower still sucks. He's hopefully he gets smoked early on next season. And then what was your third question?
What do you want to see next season?
I want to see smoke, nigga. You know what I'm saying? I want to see where Rhaenyra takes it. The last shot of the season, her staring at the camera with the it's on now, nigga face.
Yeah.
Got me excited.
That shit was pain. That shit was white woman pain.
Whew. I said, oh my God, Gwyneth, I'm with you.
See, that's that type of pain that leads to martyrdom, that leads to selling 1.5 million records the first week.
Well, I'm certainly not going to speak bad about the illest nigga in it. You already know, one trapper of the year 4 times in a row. I see the back. The back is getting a little less long, if you know what I'm talking about.
These Amiro niggas. Oh, man.
I would listen to the pod again. It's rough.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see. Also, salute the big business. He was tweeting about Allison, the actress who plays Allison.
Wait. Why are you saluting that man?
Man. I'm more like than I like to admit, my brother.
I almost called him a terrorist, but that wouldn't be okay. So
it wouldn't be a lie either. he's a social disruptor.
Oh, man.
Now, business is bad news. But he was tweeting out some pictures of the actress who plays Allison, which was good news. I'm interested to see kind of how they. I'm interested to see kind of how they react to whatever's going on. But I really just want to see smoke. I want to see war. I want to see niggas getting to it. I want to see the plotting, the behind the scenes shits. You said it was a lot of set tripping. I'm trying to see that. I'm trying to see everything for real.
Yeah, it goes in a direction that you honestly a lot of times couldn't even predict. I feel like Thrones. And then this is not George R. R. Martin's actual unfinished fucking story. I mean, like, what we saw on television, it got it did get predictable in some bad ways. Like, I feel like they kind of, we couldn't necessarily predict each individual event that was going to happen or even how people was going to die. But, like, certain narratives that were being forced or relationships that were being forced or themes that was being forced once they started going off the books. That was very, very predictable, but we got all books to go off here. So no D&D in that bitch, throwing dart boards or throwing darts at the wall, figuring out how latitude,
David and David, whatever y'all niggas names are.
It's going to get wild. It's going to get absolutely unpredictable. I'll let you know right now. They're not about to take No, it's not Jace. This is Luke, right? They got Merc.
Pretty sure.
No, Jace. It was Jace. They got Merc.
Luceris. Was it Jace?
I thought. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Yeah, one of them niggas.
Yeah. Either way, they're not
strong gonna, boys.
Yeah. They're not gonna take this shit lightly, and Damon is gonna be on absolute demon time. So be prepared for that. Ooh,
Elizabeth gonna be upset at him.
But for me, favorite character is Damon. I am a boy, Damon. Damon is who he is. And I was listening to my favorite companion podcast, Castle Black, who was back after the 4-year hiatus. Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. They right back at it. And the homie DJ Ben Amin on there was talking about I feel like too many people get caught up in the, like I said, the hero versus villain shit. When I like the characters who play the game the best. At the end of the day, this is all the Game of Thrones. So whether you evil, whether you heroic, whether you whatever, I fuck with the characters that are developed and like really, really is about that Thrones life. You know, so he fuck with the Jaime Lannisters, the Cerseis, the Daemon type people. And honestly, I agree.
He's a big fan of incest, is that what you said?
I mean, this show all incest, goddamn. Mm-hmm. I know it's like try to Google the bloodlines on this show.
Oh no.
I'll try.
I don't need that popping up in my algorithms on my sites.
So I fuck with Daemon because even though he is a certified niece grooming piece of shit, he's bought that action. And he's bought that action as much as anybody in on either show, to be honest. So definitely fuck with him. Least favorite, Otto's such a bitch.
He stinks.
He's such a bitch. He don't care about Allison. He don't care about Aegon. He don't care about none of them.
Right, nigga, like, you're not even finna be king, nigga. Ain't nobody gonna talk. Even if your son is king, or your grandson is king, nigga, ain't nobody worried about you, pussy.
And that's something that I've been trying to understand. Like, you know, everything they do is for legacy, is for the house, is for, you know, being able to have control. But just like, bro, what really do you get by Aegon being king? Yes, Aegon would be his puppet, sure. But like, even I feel like the similar situation it is from Thrones is Tywin Lannister. Tywin, while also a son of a bitch, I will never forgive him for fucking Shay. But it's his whole thing was not about control. You know, Tywin, for as much of a fucking tyrant as he was, he had some honor. You know what I'm saying? I think yes, he wanted to influence his grandsons, but at the end of the day, he wanted them to be good, strong, feared kings. He wanted to carry on House Lannister, and he wanted to like put them in a position where they was gonna be them niggas. I don't give a fuck about that. He don't care.
Your man Otto wants two songs and three tapestries. with his name on it, man.
Well, as you know, nigga, House Hightower ain't around when Game of Thrones comes around. So,
Broke boys.
So, fuck that nigga. And what am I looking to see? It's time for Dragonfire, bro. If all these dragons about to go extinct anyway, had them motherfuckers go out in a blaze of glory. Period.
Damn, they are all extinct. Oh, man.
Yes.
I hadn't even really put too much thought into that. That's crazy.
So we will definitely be right back lined up in 2024. I know.
I heard twiddling my thumbs, man. I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do with myself next year waiting on this shit.
Well, I'll tell you what you're not gonna do, and that's watch a Lakers championship. Those final spots are reserved for, I don't give a fuck who come out the West. It's reserved for us, Negro. Okay? Have you seen my teenage adolescent calves?
I have watched all of 2 minutes of Cavs ball this season, and I was not impressed. I seen your all-star center get yammed on by a light-skinned nigga with wavy hair.
Yes.
I saw Donovan Mitchell miss game winner. And I think I turned it off right before overtime started. But you can't look good as whatever. You're looking as good as a team can look, 8% through the season.
Hey man.
Somebody's team is the third hottest team in the West, winning two games in a row.
Ooh, there you go. Hey, I ain't gonna hold you. I had Russ on the fan duels last night. I didn't win, but he contributed quite a bit.
He helped. Listen. This whole big narrative, Russ come off the bench, Russ getting traded, man. As a true bred Lakers fan from the Jones of Eddie Jones and Elgin Camp, it's just good to see Russ. He's not wowing like he typically did all of last year when playing with LeBron and AD, which is good to see. I just want to make the playoffs, honestly. I think the kind of I was team trade Russ for a long time. Now I'm team nigga whatever.
You want to talk about niggas set tripping. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm sorry. I got to say this shit. I hate how y'all treat Russ. And it's not because he hasn't played badly. I hate it. All right, all right. I hate it because y'all bitch niggas always gotta find a scapegoat. Y'all act like one person tears down the entire Lakers dynasty. Lakers fans.
Ain't nobody always gotta find no damn scapegoat.
Nigga, this goes all in my fandom, this goes all the way back to Karl Malone and Gary Payton.
Who in Gary Payton? I remember that 04 team was, you talk about Shavlik or Slava Medvedenko?
Slava Medvedenko.
Yeah. Nah, it's, we do try to place blame somewhere, but legitimately last year, Russ did not play good. That nigga was wilding. Yes. This year he's playing a little bit better, which is good. And like I said, I just want to make the playoffs, you know what I'm saying? His contract will be up at the end of the season. We can make a little moves, you know what I'm saying? We can turn LA into Dusseldorf and bring Kyrie over.
Oh, Jesus. You want me to talk about Kyrie now or you want to finish talking about sports?
Oh, man. Might as well just get out of the way now. We're talking basketball. And on a high note, because that nigga is wildin'. Like I said, I will put Jesus on the record. Christ. He only went to Duke for a couple months.
So,
11 games. I don't know if he was truly there. I heard that Coach K didn't offer a scholarship. Nigga just showed up. So I just did that on the record.
Oh, man. We'll get through it. The NBA is fun right now. It's fun as fuck. It's not wide open. Yeah, I feel like we throw that term out there all the time. But seeing the level that a lot of people are playing on, especially like the younger guys who kind of have become stars in the last couple years and are now becoming like MVPs, like Luka playing out of his goddamn mind. Seeing the downfall of teams that we hate. That's always beautiful. Fuck the Sixers. You know
Warriors
what I'm saying?
Warriors lost again tonight.
Yes. The Warriors are looking bad. Seeing teams like us, like the Cavs making they come up. Before the injury, always rooting for Dame. Seeing Portland was playing pretty well.
Teams like the Lakers. Teams like you know what I'm saying? It's interesting. At the beginning of the NBA season, it's always a fun time, especially when your team is doing well. And like you said, it is kind of wide open. And this is really the best time to get into it. And I like what I'm seeing so far from 99% of the league.
The 1% in a corner of New York. Not talking about Jalen Brunson because he's playing pretty well.
Man, I remember back in college. There was many, and I say, "Austin, yo, let's hit college. Let's go to university." He was like, "Nah, man, I got to go to Cleveland, hang out with Kyrie." And I said, "What?" All right, man, y'all have a blast up there.
I dapped that nigga up one time in the Wohlstein Center at the MMG concert. Okay. Yes. Yeah, Wale.
You, Kyrie, and Pill.
Pill was gone at that point. That was the Staley era.
Oh, Staley era. Okay.
Yeah. Wale. No, I would never bring Fulmer. Kyrie, and you know, we could talk about Kanye all day, so I'm not even going to loop too much of Kanye into it.
Damn, no mind, man. Fuck
but Kyrie Irving just earlier tonight was suspended. For a minimum of 5 games for disseminating anti-Semitic rhetoric on his social media last week. And my two really big problems with Kyrie, we've gone all the way across the globe. We've hit every end of the spectrum when it comes to him. I've defended Kyrie on his podcast and I have admonished him on his podcast. But today, you got to call a spade, and you got to call a coon, because not everybody that got their third eye open is really actually doing shit for the people. And for me, my problem with Kyrie, first and foremost, is his complete lack of accountability. It is, as someone who fashions himself as a leader, as someone who's trying to help lead black people out of whatever turmoil we're in, That man cannot accept a lick of criticism. He cannot accept a lick of responsibility. He is an A1 deflector. A1 deflector.
Even to the point where he'll double and triple down.
Yeah. Not even talking about this book or movie or whatever that he shared. I'm talking about the Alex Jones shit that he shared. And what he say about that? Oh, I don't believe in Alex Jones' teachings. This was from some shit he did in 2009 and don't have nothing to do with right now. Niggas, it's fucking Alex Jones PowerPoint. Like,
nah, dog. Listen, bro. This is a Hitler quote from like before he was wild. And this is about it when he was a painter. You know what I'm saying? It's different.
Oh my god. And it's just, and it's not even, the worst part is it's not even backtracking. It's standing on it, but it's standing on nothing. Every time he talks, nothing comes out of his mouth. I remember saying that on an old podcast. And he wants to be Bill Russell so bad. He wants to be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar so bad, but he's not equipped for it. He's not equipped for it. He claims he does the research. He don't do no goddamn research. He's not a leader of men.
Nigga pulls up his YouTube and does research there. He does his Amazon Prime research.
Man, he is every impressionable Facebook hotep. That's it. Yeah. I seen a tweet from a woman earlier tonight, and she's like, folks are going to be mad at this, but I don't care. I'm tired of very ignorant and very arrogant men being driven to bigotry by a desperate need to be seen as important leaders when they are devoid of the wisdom, experience, and selflessness required for leadership.
That's a bar.
Listen, hit that shit on the head. Kyrie has none of those attributes. He has none of those values. And he is, you know, we talk about it all the time. The age of misinformation and spreading misinformation that a lot of people are gobbling the fuck up right now. Here's also something very important that niggas need to understand. All this anti-Semitic rhetoric, which is obviously unacceptable, all that. Thanks. You know, nobody is going to act like any group of people is perfect, obviously. We all have our flaws. Mm-hmm. However, you want to know where anti-Semitic rhetoric started and how it seeped into America? Hitler. Nazi Germany. This propaganda was disseminated across the entire world, and it made its way into Western culture in order to try to create Nazi sympathy. So that, not necessarily that America would join the war, would join Germany, obviously not, but so that they may let it slide. And we did let it slide for a long time.
Until up until it hit home.
Right, until Japan pulled up on us. So all of this, and it's the same rhetoric that was used all throughout slavery and Jim Crow in order to discredit black people and try to create sympathy for the white man whose country was being stolen from them and all this other shit. And that's all it is. Jews have faced an outrageous level of persecution. You get what I'm saying? And I don't mean Jewish people can't be racist. You know what I'm saying? Just like any other, you know, white people towards black people, whatever, obviously. But they have faced an outrageous amount of persecution and have been in so many different situations falsely accused of being satanic. That was another thing that Kyrie was putting out there. Being satanic, you know, being, you know,
running the media, running the banks.
Yeah. And sure, there are plenty of Jewish people in high ranking positions, but that's every white person. Every white, it ain't got nothing to do with the religion. You know what I'm saying? It's about the skin color. You know what I'm saying?
It's very simple, man. Like, it. When you spoke to kind of Kyrie, not saying anything, and if you truly believe in what you're putting out, the bullshit you're saying, stand in that. Like I'm saying, if you truly believe the Jewish people are this and that, say that then. Don't put them out and then backtrack and say, oh well, I don't believe this. If you want to be wrong, they could be all the way wrong and stand in your wrongness. Mm-hmm. That whether that is correct or incorrect. Mm-hmm. When you're kind of flip flopping and being vague and kind of not saying shit, that's weak. Mm-hmm. That's weak shit. and that's that. Like I said, you spoke to it many times, but that's the issue here. Like, first issue is you're wrong, nigga. Just chill the fuck out.
Yes.
First and foremost, but two, like they suspended him for 5 games without pay,
minimum 5 games. Yeah,
but he hasn't apologized really yet.
No.
Well, you said bullshit, saying, "Oh, I didn't make the documentary. I didn't do this or that." So, what is kind of prompting him to apologize and truly recant, or is he going to stand in this? This is a weird situation that has the potential to turn into something insane and completely out of pocket. It's which makes it super duper frustrating for Kyrie fans. Super duper frustrating, I can see, for the Jewish people who, especially in these recent years, have to deal with the uptick of attacks and violence and rhetoric spewed towards them. And it's a shame that Kyrie makes the best hoop and shoe on the fucking market.
I love Kyrie's.
Brother, I hoop in Kyrie's all the time. My last 3 hoop and shoes have been Kyrie's.
Oh, man.
Now I want to switch to LeBron, but he's pro-China.
So, and it's just, you know, and once again, we always talk about it. Last time we talked about Kyrie, black people needing to be led, or a lot of times needing to feel like we are more, more woke or more intelligent or have more inside information than the next person. It's election season again. Our election in Ohio is next week. We have a very important election. With the Santa Claus Crip. JD Vance.
JD still out there?
You said what?
I was gonna ask, is my dog JD still out there?
Yeah, he's up. He's up. So
I'm shocked.
So this is a very important election, and once again, you seeing that same thing. Oh, y'all couldn't pay me to vote in this election. They don't care about us in this country. I ain't about to vote for blah 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 blah. All right, then what are you gonna do then? How are you going to...
Niggas never have an answer.
You get what I'm saying? Like, how are you going to incite this change that you're hoping to see by not fucking voting? Which is also, someone else said on Instagram, very disrespectful to your ancestors who literally died to be able to vote.
I remember my pops. When I turned 18, I remember my pops, like, sat me down and gave me that type of speech about voting and shit, man. And I've always voted ever since, man.
Yep.
Imagine telling your great grandfather, "Nah, man, these niggas ain't gonna do nothing for me, man."
So it's just yeah, age of misinformation, fucking Facebook memes, and everything else that just has absolutely indoctrinated our people, and it's so fucking sad to see. Because I say, you know, on my timeline, it's been way closer to 50-50 support and hate for Kyrie. You know what I'm like? That's way too close for me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like,
for sure. My time was pretty good, but I did dip onto Facebook the other day. I do my quarterly check in, and it was a mess over there, which is gross.
Always.
And then I did see a tweet that said, "In 6 years, it says Kyrie's character arc has been the most fascinating thing I've ever seen. In 6 years, dude went from an all-star NBA point guard who had yacht parties with all white women, no black woman in sight, to a vegan, Muslim, Native American, flat earth, anti-vaxxer, anti-Semite, black Hebrew Israelite."
Oh, man. That Kyrie Lifetime documentary gonna be crazy.
Whew, with, who's gonna play him? T.I.'s son?
Which one?
The one that's in trouble all the time.
The one's gonna get beat up by Charleston White.
Yeah. Charleston White gonna play LeBron. They'll come together on that one.
Charleston White is such a wild boy, man. And I hate that we be in positions sometimes where he's not completely in the wrong. That tells you how much T.I. sucks.
I try not to pay him too much mind, but he just seeps in, man. Him and that nigga Whack 100, man. Can't avoid him.
Because we have to follow academics. He's a disseminator of the news.
I'm trying to tell you, look, Cole just doesn't understand.
Listen, you know, I hate that bitch ass nigga. But there is nobody else who's aggregating like clips and content like that. Tailored towards me.
This is right up our alley. And to be, and if you want to be specific and technical, we're following the academics page, not the DJ Academics page.
Very good point,
Cole. If you're listening, I'm put Cole timestamp in here for him to come through and listen to this portion.
There's our loophole, our time loop. So with no due respect, fuck Kyrie Irving. I honestly, because there's nothing more than I hate than a fake revolutionary. We have seen and we've gotten so much amazing content about the black people who literally led us out of everything. Shit, I'm about to go see The Woman King this weekend. About the fucking real life Dora Milaje. The week before, niggas pull up on Black Panther.
Let me get my tickets. I gotta think about that now.
Yeah, straight up. And you know, like we just got the Fred Hampton movie a couple years ago and all that good shit. And then you got this bitch ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like it literally makes me sick. The shit makes me sick. I hate a fake revolutionary. If you don't know what you're talking about, don't say I don't know what I'm talking about. He could have easily got up there and be like, "Hey, I ain't gonna hold you. I ain't watch this shit. I ain't read the shit. You know, it looked interesting. It looked like it might be, you know, shed some light. So I just wanted to pass it out to my people." Then now, would that have absolved him of everything? Fuck no. But it's better than his paragraphs on paragraphs and paragraphs of nothing.
That's honest. And even in then, it's like, bro, we live in the most available time there's ever been. You can look up and read or find a video that explains anything and just fucking watch it and learn, nigga. Mm-hmm. Like, this is in the time where you, I gotta go to a library and find an encyclopedia or go towns over. Nigga, no. You have everything is available to you on your phone, on your computer, nigga. Look up stuff and learn shit. Don't just fucking look at the titles and be a slave to kind of clickbait material, nigga. Learn your shit and stand on that.
Stand on it. And that's one thing that he don't do. And if you want to be a revolutionary, you got to stand on it. You have to stand on it.
Now, I need this nigga to apologize profusely. I need this nigga to make full amends. And I need this nigga to sign a max in LA next season.
Oh, God.
And we can get back to these rings.
Yeah, big rings, bro. Sure. So, yeah, that's the NBA, the NFL. Mm-hmm. Y'all playing all right?
Ooh, hottest team in the game, nigga. 3 runs in a row. Heineken man is back. You know what I'm saying?
Man, big mag.
Oh, we gonna everybody's saying we're all on the monolith. quarterbacks on the monolith. Yeah, and I'm saying we got the Vikings this week. We gonna smoke them niggas. You guys are coming down the pike. I think we play out with a New Year's Day, I think.
Do we?
That's one of them last games of the season.
That doesn't sound fun. Oh, wait, no. The Nasty Man will be back. Yeah, let's do it.
I said I was going to go. I was going to link up with you. I said, wait a minute. I don't want to see the big nasty sex man.
It's just a big nasty sex man.
I've been saving that clip. I'm waiting to buzz it out.
Yeah, we only got 3 more games, bro.
I know, but
Oh, real, man. While we're in football, you think Twitter's a mess now? Oh, boy. Go ahead.
I'm going to get back on Ask FM. But
Black Planet, baby.
Oh, yeah, we back. All up in the guest book. Do you want to address the last place in our fantasy football league and specifically our division allegations?
Oh, man. Well, unfortunately, I'm not beating allegations. but no. I feel like, give me a little credit. You can attest. I have a great team to be 2-6.
Well,
I don't have a bad team. I don't have a bad team at all.
Well, let me just clarify for the people who aren't in our league.
Yes,
I am in first place in our division. I think I'm the number 2 seed overall.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have my division wrapped up. Probably by the end of the
season. I just beat the best team in the league last week. Give me that.
But what makes this even better for me personally, they have the ESPN League has the final standings projections, like so where your team was predicted to finish on draft day, where you are now. And I was predicted to finish 9th. You were predicted to finish 10th. they said, get these coloreds the fuck out of here. So, yeah, I'm extremely overperforming my expectations. You know what I'm saying? I'm winning this bitch again for the 4th time. I might
nah,
send
bro.
You won the league, but yeah, you wanna
yes, Tears, yo? Yes. And now nigga, I'm back on track now. All right. I got that big win, Blueberry out last week. I got Gino, you know, leading the ship. You know, DeAndre Hopkins out here eating. Derrick Henry beast mode. Or not beast mode, or whatever the fuck Henry mode is.
John Henry mode?
That'll work. Yeah.
Until the train gets finished.
And I'm facing negligent Nick Shook this week. So we're getting back in the bag.
I just came a dub off of Shook, where it was a little dicey because he was playing two niggas that were out, and I didn't start too hot. And I said, uh-oh, I don't know if I can accept this. Man, I'm saying I'm about to win this bitch again. I already got I got two songs picked out for my championship video.
Oh Jesus,
it's gonna get real.
Let's see
real
how many buys black. Shook got this week. I know he not listening to this shit. He has one buy.
I said, but he was starting Jamar Chase last week, and that nigga is dead.
Oh yeah, he's also starting him too. Okay, so that counts.
And Marquise Brown.
Is he out Brown. Too?
I'm pretty sure he's done for at least.
Oh, he's on injured reserve. Let's go. Let's go.
I'm Nick Shook free. Yeah, man. So things looking up football wise for the boy over here. You know what I'm saying? Danny Snyder's gonna be forced to sell the team soon.
Yeah.
Me.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it, my brother. Me, Jay-Z, and Bezos are gonna be popping bottles down at we're gonna reopen Rose Bar.
Oh man,
I'm gonna pop it. I got to experience it one time.
It's time for me to make a DC trip. You know, I'll be in Charlotte soon to be permanently. It's time to get to DC. Corey,
my time.
Let's go, yeah, nigga.
That nigga's a millionaire. He be all over the fucking place.
He ain't I ain't seen him traveling in like a week.
Good. I hope he's poor now. He's around all goddamn time.
But man. So shout out to football. Football is actually very fun. Outside of the like the Bills and the Eagles, there's not like too many runaway teams right now. And I guess you throw the Chiefs in there if you want. Yeah, playoff time gonna be fun. See you in the Super Bowl with the Nasty Man. Can't wait.
Oh, but where's Super Bowl this year?
LA? No, it was just in LA.
I don't even know, but
I don't know.
I just know just hide your kids, hide your wife. if the Browns get on a run in a second.
Baseball, yeah, who cares?
Baseball.
Very disappointing endings for all of us.
Some of us. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's getting late. You know, it's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. You know what that means?
Yes.
One more hour.
Oh, yeah.
So we're blessed. Honored.
Honored.
Inspired by. Hyped up by. I can't think of any other adjectives or words or verbs. New Drake 21. Her loss.
I was about to say, I didn't know what it was called.
Your loss.
This one's gonna be a special one. Anytime Drake gives you music in the fall, it's gonna be special. You throw obviously you throw 21 into that. They are one of the better combinations in all the music right now, and it's crazy because it's one that if you would have asked me five people that not that you wanted a collab album from that you would but would have expected one from, I wouldn't have named them.
Yeah, well, yeah, even though they do have a number of collaborations together,
yes.
It's not really a project you would think would kind of materialize, but it has.
I would have guessed 21 and J. Cole before 21 and Drake, honestly.
Talk about some shit I would get the, you thought I was a decent editor now, I'm about to edit all of them J. Cole verses the fuck out of here. But yeah, so her loss leads me to believe that Drake is going to be eschewing accountability, which is my favorite type of Drake.
That's what we need.
And when he gets around the rappers, Drake usually gets his motherfucking rap on.
Yes.
The track list came out. I had a couple standouts that I think are going to be some heat. Did you see the track list?
No, I did not.
Okay. There's a couple. It's probably how many songs is this? I can't count right now. It's Honey Jack is hitting. But maybe like 16, 18 songs or so.
Okay.
The ones I have penciled in as bangers right now, 3 a.m. on Glenwood.
The time and location tracks?
With timestamp Drake and 21. Mm-hmm. What was the other one? Jumbotron Popping Shit. I think that's going to be a good one. Privilege Rappers. Mm-hmm. I think 21 is going to go crazy on Privilege Rappers. Can't wait for him to call me a pussy a million times on this project. I guess it's Fuck Me. It's going to be good. And on BS, I think those are going to be the ones to look for without having here to lick a project. I'm tired of tweeting at Drake and the OVO camp to send me files beforehand. It's getting a little out of hand. But I'm looking forward to him saying as a big Drake fan, as a big 21 fan. 21 been smoking shit ever since shit, even before Savage Mode 2 dropped. He's just been on a tear.
Of course, yeah. But really, ever since that, what was that first album, that I Greater Than You shit?
I Am Greater Than I Was.
Was that what it's called?
I believe so.
Okay, like I ain't fuck with that.
Sure.
That
was hard.
Nope.
What? That was hard.
Everything after that was exceptional. Exceptional.
I would highly recommend you revisit that.
I don't want to.
I Am Greater Than I Was. Yeah, but you can listen to fucking I'm stuck. Lazy Bone, a million times.
Oh no! I'm so sorry. I Am Greater Than I Was my shit. I'm so sorry. That was when he really really started taking off.
That's Gunsmoke. Yeah,
it's an album is what I didn't like.
That was fine. He had a couple
that had bank account shit on there.
Yeah, that was like 20 years ago.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That nigga been on a run for 5 years. Very, very excited. I mean, I guess as excited as you can get about album drops these days, because there's no such thing as anticipation anymore.
We got notice of this 2 weeks in advance, basically, or two or three weeks in advance.
And even better, today is the 13-year anniversary of Can You Guess Which Drake Feature?
13-year anniversary of 13 feature.
Mm-hmm.
Like Drake's the featured artist, or
yes,
like came on Drake shit. 13 years a Drake feature. The fuck was he featured on? Oh, die, goddamn.
This was the one that set it off for me.
Oh, for you? What is it? Something recently? I don't know. Go ahead, tell me.
This love was all I knew, you and me only. I did it all for you.
Still that was 2009.
Alone. Yeah, that was 2009. It was the end of 2009. I remember because I just started. I just got my car. I remember it was one of the first songs I played in there.
We old as hell.
We are. We are. But
like,
yes,
I don't like,
say
I
something.
Like, I don't like that. Damn.
Yeah,
that man, that had me in my. That's when I was going through things with Lil Shorty, man. Oh my god.
Yeah, man.
Yes, I wish I could have. I think I'm pretty sure I got like I scrubbed him off there respectfully.
It wasn't needed. But what I liked is I liked the build up to Drake's verse though.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So you know, if that's any indication of what we moving towards, I'm expecting nothing but motherfucking greatness out of this.
I wish I would have got the producers track list. Because, you know, so when you see the producer list, you can kind of tell what this song's and what this shit's going to kind of sound like. Mm-hmm. But I imagine it's going to be a lot of Metro. I hope there's a decent amount of 40. I kind of want to hear what Savage does on those 40-type beats. Mm-hmm. But I'm expecting some greatness, at least some shit to keep me tied over for the rest of the year.
Oh yeah, for sure. This would definitely get niggas to the end of the year. Shout out to Aubrey or whatever. Shout out to the bloke, 21. I wish we get some gigs on here, you know, with the little British connection, but you know, everything in life, huh?
Man, when we get that 21 gig set album tonight. To unite Britain. Oh man. I can't wait.
Time to wrap it the fuck up. L's of the motherfucking week. Wesley.
L's of the week. My L this week is going to go to a San Antonio Spurs organization. And more downing sports news, because sports is a wonderful place and inclusive for everyone, especially women. Recently, the San Antonio Spurs released a third-year guard, Josh Primo. When he was released, it was kind of out of the blue because he's a young guard. He's talented. He's on the way up, so it kind of came out of nowhere. And the news kind of trickled out. He put out a statement saying, "Hey, I'm dealing with some previous traumas. I need some time away to work on myself."
Previous traumas. Blah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So at that point, everybody's thinking, okay, the Spurs kind of did the right thing. You know what I'm saying? He's going through something. Let him work on himself. While he figures everything out. And today we find out that, a couple days ago, there's the rumors that saying he was exposing himself multiple times to women, team hotels, stuff like that. And then today we find out that the team sports psychologist, I forget her name, Ms. Colton or something like that, Heidi, yeah. I believe, something like that. But I don't want to mess her name up. But she has brought forth a lawsuit against the Spurs and Josh Primo, saying that he exposed himself to her 9 separate times. And she informed the Spurs when it first happened, and they basically ignored her as she
9
reported it to him and continues to report it to him. And so what turned from the Spurs being kind of proactive, or what we thought the Spurs were being proactive, turns into another case where a sports team is just covering up and allowing a workplace to be an unsafe place for women. It's nasty as fuck, but it's something we've seen over and over again, that the sports teams claim to be inclusive. They'll hire women in these roles and put them places. But when times turn to listen to what the women are saying, what the women are telling us, what they're reporting, time and time again, these teams turn a blind eye, look to cover up whoever is doing these crimes or doing whatever. It's a sad tale. Hopefully, the sports psychologist, Ms. Calden, can get justice here. Hopefully, Josh, if he did indeed do what he is accused of doing, is punished, but also gets help, because that's just... it's just a nasty situation. I hope the Spurs are also held accountable as well. So it's just a nasty situation all the way around. So the Spurs definitely get my L. Do better, especially from one of the kind of stand-up organizations in a league that's proposed itself and put itself up as the stand-up league. You got to do better. Plain and simple.
Period. Straight up. And it like we talked about earlier in the group chat, it's really unacceptable that, you know, we're still getting, sexual assault situations are still being handled in the way that they're being handled by large corporations, by large organizations, not just from a morality standpoint, you know, not just to actually care about and protect the victim. Obviously, that's first and foremost, second and foremost, whatever. But also just from a business aspect, from a PR, a logistical standpoint, you know, you're going to get caught. At some point, you know, at some point this information is going to come out. So like, just do the right fucking thing. Like, and listen, ain't no such thing as a corporate cover up no more, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit, that's not the era that we exist in.
That shit was done when Donald Draper left office.
Dead ass, bro. So, I mean, it's just to, you know, so to, you know, to her, definitely, you know, awful that she had to, you know, experience that, especially in, you know, it was supposed to be what, fucking therapy sessions, you know, yeah, you know, and you know, especially for their excuse was, oh shit, nigga, I didn't know my meat was out, my bad. You can't defend this shit, bro. You can't defend stupidity and now I can't even say oversight. You can't defend just stupidity and lack of character. You know what I'm saying? Just lack of care for people. And shit, you know, not even just, you know, the victim herself, but, you know, everybody else who gets affected by it. You know what I'm saying? Her and her family, and I don't know if she got kids. You know what I'm saying? Like all these other different fucking things.
Yeah. And then so how are you going to incredibly hire women into your organization after this. Like, it's like, if I'm a woman looking to apply here, it's like, why would I even apply here? There, if even if I get a good job, even if I get a good job and shit goes well, something happens, who's to say they're going to do the right thing? Who's to say they're not going to ignore me like they ignored the sports psychologist? So you're putting yourself in a terrible situation, and it's so easy to do the right thing.
Yeah. Period. And again, it's, you know, and people always wonder why, again, women feel the way they feel, you know, when it comes to SA culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, turn around, look in the fucking mirror before you accuse somebody of fucking lying. You know, which I'm sure they, you know, try to do with her, you know, gaslighting her and shit.
It's lawyers get into it, man. Gross.
Shit is gross. But yeah, so you know, that's awful. Mine is a I guess a tad bit lighter. My L of the week goes to a Negro by the name of Baby Rex. Yes, it's a nigga by the name of Baby Rex.
Is he a rapper?
Yes, he is a rapper. So apparently, he was
10 years ago. If it was 10 years ago, I know I would have him in my one boy.
Baby Rex was a man. I don't even know. I don't gonna hold you. I don't even know what fucking city he's from. But he was just recently signed to 1017 Records. I think like literally.
Boy. Is he old boy that got dropped like in a day
yes.
or whatever?
Yes.
Oh, see, I didn't look into any of this. I saw the headline. He got dropped like in a day. So please let me know what's going on.
This man was signed by Gucci. Oh man, Saturday or Sunday or some shit like that. Then or Saturday night, some shit. The Takeoff incident happened. Takeoff murder happened, and the first thing he said was, even before the Takeoff murder, he said, being signed to Gucci is a bless and a curse. This was unprompted. This was unwarranted. It was like, okay, nigga, I thought you just got signed.
Huh?
Yeah. First. And then the Takeoff shit happened. And then he said, fuck all that. I'm not fucking with y'all. Because they was in Houston, right?
It was like,
I ain't fucking with y'all Houston niggas. Don't book me for nothing. Don't book me for no shows and no appearances down there. And niggas was like, that's not up to you, nigga. And nigga, 2 hours later, Gucci was like, shout out to the first nigga to be, signed and dropped in the same day. Baby Rax is a clown. And he is not affiliated with 1017. So,
imagine going back and telling yourself in middle school that niggas is getting signed and dropped over a day off of social media posts.
Man. They weren't smart social media posts, though.
This nigga Gucci doing better than the Spurs did. Goddamn. Gucci's HR is on point. And that's wild for a nigga who is who has legally and self-defensed himself and killed a nigga. That's crazy. What a world, man. What a world we live in, man.
Yeah. Crazy world. So that was not smart. Imagine, again, signing and get enough money up front to, you know, take care of your whole family for the month before you owe the money back to Gucci.
No. This nigga locked his tweets.
Oh, man. Letting them Twitter fingers get the best of you, bro. Again, a lot of chatty patties out here, as Dame Dash would say.
It's so avoidable, too. Just don't tweet, nigga.
Herm Edwards, baby. Don't hit send, nigga. Don't. Never mind.
Uh-oh.
No. It's about time to wrap up the show. So, that's all we got for Beware the L's this week. Thank you for coming back and banging with your boys. Uptown Ace Boogie on Twitter, Instagram. Ain't That Wes, Twitter, Instagram. The show, Twitter, Instagram, at Beware the L's. Follow, like, rate, share, subscribe, retweet, tell a friend. We are going to start bringing back our very dead Twitter handle. We have not been putting enough work into that. So look out for more interaction coming from the Beware the L's Twitter handle. Make sure y'all interact with us. Let us know what y'all fucking with, what y'all not fucking with, XYZ. Before we sign out, I just got to say, you know, overall, to kind of bring it back to, you know, obviously the original topic, black men deserve to grow old with grace. And this is a statement to everybody. This is a statement to black men. This is a statement to cops. This is a statement to white people. This is a statement to, you know, different races. That is a statement to, you know, everybody within our demographic. Black men deserve the opportunity to grow old gracefully, to throw on the grilling shoes at the cookouts, to have families. You get what I'm saying? To be the patriarchs, to be able to take care of everybody, you know, the way that they need to. And not enough people get the opportunity to make it that far, you know, and that's not even talking about, you know, just unavoidable life things like illnesses. We talking about people killing people or cops killing people or whatever the situation is. So, you know, once again, to take off to his family, you know, obviously so sorry for your loss. And I don't know how many more losses it's going to take, you know, for it to, if it really gets through to anybody, but protect your peoples, look out for your peoples. Also goes back to mental health too. You know, people that's going through it, check in on them, love on them, make sure they protect it. And don't think that, you know, because black men are men that they don't deserve protection too. Cause there's, you know, there's only certain things that you can protect yourself from, and you know, other people got to be there for you. So yeah, I just want to end it on that shit.
Nah, well said, my brother. Everybody's out there. Be safe, be smart, you know what I'm saying? Stay blessed, stay up. Keep fucking with us. We're going to fuck with you, and we're going to see you on the next one, y'all. Peace.
Yes, sir.